favorite Thanksgiving traditions is that one in which around the Thanksgiving table, folks offer those things that they're particularly thankful for during that year. And I love the way that tradition gets adapted for children, especially in school. They fill in the turkey feathers with people and things that they're thankful for. I always read these with great interest. You can expect that they give thanks for mom and dad, sometimes sisters and brothers. You can expect that someone will give thanks for a house, or for a car, a toy, or a favorite pastime, something they enjoy doing. But I always read for the unexpected Thanksgiving. One of the children who falls outside of the mold of expectation and gives thanks for something that surprises us, that doesn't fit into those categories. It's the child who shares their thankful for hamsters or for trick-or-treating, which I heard a lot of at chapel time this week at CMO. They asked if they could do trick-or-treating again, if they were so thankful for it. The child who shares their thankful for bees, you know, those things that buzz around, or thankful when they can reach the snack basket at home by themselves. I love these glimpses of gratitude because they surprise us and they're deeply authentic. It's like us, you and me, giving thanks for the person at work who gives us the most trouble. The one not who we give thanks for with clenched fists and clenched teeth, but the one who, when we earnestly reflect, realize their role is so integral to what we do, that we must give thanks for them. I wonder if this is where Barak found himself after Deborah proclaimed God's call for him to defeat Sisera. I imagine him settled into camp, not expecting or planning to go into battle anytime soon. I can imagine he was holding his own, and when Deborah proclaimed his movement, his battle, and then the presumed success thereof, he didn't dismiss her out of hand. He didn't laugh at the suggestion. He didn't ignore the voice of God. Instead, his response was to ask for help. Now, Deborah wasn't just any Israelite listening for the voice of God. She held that title of judge. We've been hearing about judges throughout this series, and judge is a particular office. It has two aspects, the first of which is that people come to you for legal disputes. It's not clear if it was her own good sense that had the answers, or if she consulted with God as a prophet for the best answers. But it's clear that people respected her wisdom. The second of those pieces of the office was that judges were military heroes, Deborah included. Military heroes through which God delivered God's people. Now, Deborah is the only, first of all, female judge, but also the only judge in the whole book to be identified as solely positive. Remember when we were talking about Samson, debating whether he was a tale to be followed or a cautionary tale to be avoided? Deborah is the only one of the judges who is solely put forward as a positive example. This passage we heard about Deborah also follows the pattern of judges we heard from Samson and from Gideon. In the book of Judges, there is a cycle of the way in which the Israelites relate to God. You see, the Israelites do evil. God delivers them into the hands of foreign leaders who oppress them. The Israelites call out to God, change this. God rises up a judge, a military leader who delivers them from that foreign oppression. The people have a time of peace in which they forget about God, do evil, and are oppressed by foreign powers, cry out to God again. This cycle happens again and again through the book of Judges, ending in the book of Judges with some moral chaos and some civil war as well. But throughout this cycle, God partners with humanity. God does not leave the people alone. I think this passage surprises us not only because of the details of the adventure. Read on in chapter 4 and then again in chapter 5. You'll find there are parts of this story we don't tell our children before bedtime. There's some tent stakes involved that are a bit graphic, perhaps, for our liking. But the story of the adventure would rival any adventure movie that you've ever seen. And certainly, Marvel and DC Comics have nothing on the superhero, Deborah. I'd love to see it not only in Lego, but in full action. Without hesitation, Deborah shares God's command with Barak. Without hesitation, Barak accepts what has been shared, counters with an adaptation, and Deborah accepts with her own caveat. All of this appears to be done in a blink, in a snap. Partnership with God and another blink of an eye. Hold that thought just a moment. As a culture, I think we're a little bit hesitant about quick decisions and snap judgments. We've seen them go awry more than once. Now, since this is our last in the series of biblical reality shows, I know our liturgists are quite happy that we're finishing up the book of Judges for now. I wanted to bring up the TV show The Bachelorette. Perhaps you've seen this or its companion, The Bachelor. For the last 11 to 14 years, this concept is around speed dating and around courtship. How is it that quick judgments can be made in the space of the hour you and I see on television about who is going to be the best person to live out the rest of your life with? This is done with scripted dates and social interactions that have been set up, quick sharings of what your hopes for the future are, as well as romantic episodes that play out before our very eyes. The goal of the show is to marry off the man or the woman in question. It seems they've been marginally successful. 2 out of 9 of the bachelorettes are still married at this point, and 5 out of 18, if I've done my research well, of the bachelors are still married at this point. But to me, this raises the question about snap judgments and scripted encounters. Can we figure out in the space of the hour of television whether or not this is the person with whom to spend the rest of your life? I think our instinctive answer is no. However, I want to suggest there's a book I've read recently that makes me wonder about this. I recently read Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink, The Power of Thinking Without Thinking. It's about as confusing as it sounds. Gladwell's book deals with the unexpected research implications in social science. Gladwell does this by telling about a psychologist who, after a few minutes of being with a couple, can determine if they're going to have a lasting marriage. It's based on a tennis coach who can determine whether you're going to double fault in tennis before you even fully swing the racket. And an antiquities dealer who can tell the difference between a forgery and an authentic art piece just at a glance. Now, for the cautious among us, there are also a few failures shared as well. The election of Warren Harding, for those of you who know your history, and the shooting of individuals by police officers who made the wrong Blink decision. But the book suggests this. Decision makers, the best, are not those who process the most or who spend the most amount of time deliberating. It's those who have perfected the art of what he calls thin slicing. That is, filtering away from many factors the thing that is the most important to focus on. Now, Gladwell doesn't lead us down this particular road, but I will. One of the ways that you and I make snap decisions, one of the ways that we thin slice successfully is by always being on the side of God. When we find ourselves going on the side of God, especially when it surprises us, when it catches us off guard, we thin slice, that is, make good snap decisions. In the story of Deborah and Barak, every story convention has been turned on its head. The heroines are women. The cowards are men. Great battles do not occur. There's a devious deed that seems to win the day. Not one that you and I celebrate per se, but we celebrate the surprising way that our God does not always follow the expected rules of society. That is, our God keeps us on our toes by doing things in ways that we don't expect. Sometimes I think that you and I, like those in the book of Judges, are surprised by those who are in leadership. Perhaps because of sex. Like Deborah, it was very surprising to have a female judge. She is the only female judge, but given highest praise for her stature and her faithfulness. I think we're also surprised by leadership as related to age. We have some expectation that wisdom will come capped with a head of salt and pepper, and wisdom will come out of this. We find ourselves surprised when leaders are not the race or the ethnicity that we expect. I think we're also surprised when our leaders answer God's surprises. Willingness to serve in unexpected ways. That's the one that's most exciting to me. So on this Thanksgiving week, I give thanks to God that God's ways are most unexpected. There are things that surprise us. We find ourselves working with people we didn't anticipate. Perhaps it's collaborative, like Deborah and Barak. Perhaps it's a startling judgment, like in the Gospel of Matthew. When have you and I seen God naked or hungry or thirsty? When was it that we served the face of God? Now, if you're anything like my family, you might find yourself this Thursday gathered around copious amounts of food with family favorites and traditional dishes. But you might also find yourself rubbing elbows with those who, while you share a common last name or know that they're your relatives of some sort, you might not have chosen them out of a crowd if you were picking who was gathered around the table. Consider where God is calling you to cultivate gratitude and give thanks in this year. Of course, giving thanks for family and friends, good food and a home. But where is God giving you an opportunity to give thanks for the difficult sister-in-law who always rubs you the wrong way? Or the grandparent who keeps a hold of your cheek for much longer than you would enjoy? Or the person who you probably wouldn't have invited to the Thanksgiving table, but you find around the table all the same? God is always surprising God's people. God may just be planning a surprise collaboration, an opportunity for growth, or a new way for you to serve God's people. On Thursday, lean in and give thanks. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.